Just going to be doing the first 14 verses. So I'll go ahead and read it, and then we'll pray, and then I'll kind of dive into it. So it says, "At this time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.' He said to them, 'Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath. Now, when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man with a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?' That they might accuse him. Then he said to them, 'What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath.' Then he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and it was restored, as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him, how they might destroy him." All right. Dear God, we thank you for today, Father. We thank you just for bringing us everyone here safely, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just guide us through your word this morning, Lord. I pray that you would remove me and just speak through me, Lord. These things we ask in your Son Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. So what we kind of went through before, I believe Brent did. Tyson taught last Sunday, didn't he? Anyways. Okay. So we can see here the religious leaders and like the Pharisees are continuing to reject Jesus and trying to find ways to see wrong that he's doing and get at him. So we see in the first two verses, Jesus and his disciples are going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pluck the heads of the grain and eat them because they were hungry. And it says when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." So we see here again, the Pharisees are kind of continuing to follow Jesus and his disciples with that idea and that mindset of wanting to find any wrong that Jesus is doing, so they may accuse him of that. So there was nothing wrong with what the disciples did. Because of their taking of the grain was not considered stealing. We see that according to Deuteronomy 23, verse 25, where it says, "When you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the heads with your hand. You shall not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing grain." So back then, in the Old Testament, it's even said that this is okay. It's not considered stealing for people to kind of go to their neighbors' grain fields and take from what's left. The main issue was on the day that the disciples did this, and it just happened to be on the Sabbath. The rabbis and the Pharisees made an elaborate list of like do's and don'ts that were relevant to the Sabbath, and the action that the disciples did, taking that grain, violated like multiple of these. So a quick quote from Spurgeon says, "We incidentally learn from this story that our Lord and his disciples were poor, and that he who fed the multitudes did not use his miraculous powers to feed his own followers, but left them till they did what poor men are forced to do, to supply a little stay for their stomachs." So I mean, just what Spurgeon is kind of saying here is just this passage makes it very clear to us that the disciples and Jesus were both very poor. The law of Israel allowed people traveling through an area to take from the grain fields to have small meals for them. Farmers were actually commanded at this time that when they're harvesting their grain fields, that they leave a small section specifically for travelers and for the poor, so they may eat. Matthew just quoted Jesus offering us an easy yoke and a light burden, as we see at the end of chapter 11. But here he's really showing he's showing us that the really hard burdens and the hard yokes that the religious leaders were putting on Christians at this time. In the eyes of the religious leaders at the time, his disciples were guilty of reaping, threshing, winnowing, and preparing food on the Sabbath. So these are right there. That's four violations of the Sabbath in the eyes of the Pharisees. Jesus never violated God's command to observe the Sabbath or approved of his disciples violating God's Sabbath command. But he often broke man's legalistic additions to the law, and he sometimes seems to be deliberately broken, to have deliberately broken those human additions. What that's kind of saying is, at this time, man was given the law in the Old Testament. God gave the law to people that they should follow, and one of those was the Sabbath. And they were to people were to respect and observe the Sabbath. But through over time, man made small additions to the Sabbath, added little things in here and there that they didn't think should be accepted or allowed. But we see many times that Jesus specifically broke those additions because they were not going against God's Sabbath, they were going against man's addition to the Sabbath. And he really wanted to make a point that only what the Lord had told them to do and what the Lord had said is what is important on the Sabbath, not man's additions to it. So another quote from Spurgeon says, "The Pharisees here seem hard at work supervising and accusing the disciples. This was a greater violation of the Sabbath. Did they not break the Sabbath by setting a watch over them?" So, and it's really, it's funny to see that while the Pharisees were trying so hard following Jesus and his disciples on the Sabbath and making sure they didn't do any wrong, they themselves were actually breaking the Sabbath. They were doing what was not lawful. But they were so focused on trying to accuse Jesus and his disciples that they didn't take a sec to look at their life and see the example that they were setting for people. So verses 3 through 8, we're going to read it again. It says, "But he said to them, 'Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would have not condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath." So the first principle Jesus presented is a simple illustration of what David did back in the Old Testament. David went into, and we see this in 1 Samuel chapter 21, David and his men actually went into the temple, where the showbread was kept, and they actually took that showbread and ate of it, which was only lawful to do. It was only lawful for the priests at the time to do. David and his men had no right being in there. But Jesus reminded them that human need is more important than observing ceremonial rituals. So the incident with David was a valid defense because it was a case of eating. It probably happened on the Sabbath, and it concerned not only David but also his followers. So again, we see the Jesus kind of brought this up as another example. I mean, the Pharisees and religious leaders at the time would have been very very well educated about David and the Old Testament times. So they would have been very familiar with this incident. So the context of David's taking the bread in 1 Samuel chapter 21 shows that it was justified for him to do, to have eaten the holy bread out of profanity or bravado, might have been involved in offending and going against the Sabbath, but to do so in an urgent need was not blameworthy in this cause. So moving on, the second principle Jesus presented is also simple. The priests themselves break the Sabbath all the time. Perhaps the Pharisees didn't understand as much about the Sabbath as they thought they did. And that was, I mean, again, throughout time, man had put different things in here and there in the law about the Sabbath. So they and they also took from the original law to kind of more better suit man's wants and fleshly desires. So the Pharisees at this time, it was pretty likely that they didn't fully understand the Sabbath themselves. The reference to the passage where it quotes, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice," is found in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. And the Pharisees lack the understanding of this principle. Was also a way that Jesus questioned the confidence the Pharisees had in their man-made traditions. They used those traditions to justify lifting principles like sacrifice above principles like mercy, when God would have them do just the opposite. The third principle was the most dramatic, based on who Jesus is. It says he is greater than the temple. Even as much as they honored and valued the temple, even more so, Jesus is Lord of even the Sabbath. This was a direct claim to deity, and Jesus said that he had the authority to know if his disciples broke the Sabbath law, because he is the Lord of even the Sabbath. So no matter what the Pharisees said, whatever Jesus said concerning the Sabbath would be far greater and more powerful and correct over what the Pharisees said concerning the Sabbath. So since Jesus is greater than the temple, I mean, we are also to regard him as so. So the temple was admired with love and wonder, and we should admire Jesus even more than that. The temple was joyfully visited, and so in the same way, we should come to Jesus with even more joy. The temple was honored as a holy place, and we should honor Jesus even more so. The temple was a place for sacrifice and service, and we should sacrifice and worship and give our service to Jesus even more so. And the temple was a place of worship, and we should worship Jesus even more. So going through verses 9 through 14, I'm going to go and read that section again as well. It says, "Now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?' That they might accuse him. Then he said to them, 'What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value than a man is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath.' Then he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him that they might destroy him." So a general theme kind of throughout this section of Matthew is the rising opposition against Jesus. So we see, what I said before, the Pharisees and religious leaders were following Jesus, trying to find a way to blame him and find wrong that he has done. Sometimes this opposition is expressed against him directly, and sometimes attacks on his disciples instead. Yet we see that Jesus, as a faithful Jewish man, continued to go to the synagogue normally, really knowing that when he came into the presence of the religious leaders, that there was going to be persecution, there was going to be testing of Jesus' character. And we might say that Jesus was a faithful church-going man, even when he had reason not to be. I mean, he was Jesus. He was the Messiah, he wasn't really necessarily obligated to go to church. I mean, people were to go to church and worship him, worship his Father. But we know, I mean, Jesus was. He was fully man, but he also was fully God at the same time. And he did not worship himself. But we see he continued to go to church because it was just that opportunity for fellowship and the opportunity to reach more people, as Jesus was always doing. So Jesus set the example of attending public worship. The synagogues had no divine appointment to authorize them, but in the nature of things, it must be right and good to meet for the worship of God for his own day. And therefore, Jesus was there. He had nothing to learn, yet he went into the assembly on the day which the Lord had hallowed. And we see Jesus, as he goes to the temple, on this day, he finds there's a man there with a withered hand. At best, the religious leader saw the man with the withered hand as an interesting test case. So again, they wanted to test Jesus and see if he would again break man's law for the Sabbath. It's more likely that they saw the man as bait for a Sabbath trap for Jesus. In contrast, Jesus looked at the man through the eyes of compassion. He wasn't worried what the Pharisees would say and what they would do. He showed compassion on this man. He wanted to heal him. The accusers also knew Jesus would do something when he saw this man in need. In this sense, these critics had more faith than many of us. They had faith that Jesus would perform a miracle this day. On the Sabbath, and they would have something yet again to accuse him of. We sometimes seem to doubt that Jesus wants to really or miraculously meet the needs of others, and that's something definitely relevant today. I mean, we read about so many miracles and just miraculous things that Jesus did at this time while he was walking on the earth. And nowadays, a lot of times we don't think that stuff still happens, yet it does. It's not as common anymore, where it's not really captured or talked about as much anymore. But it does still happen to this day. Jesus still performs miracles on people to this day. So Jesus exposed their hypocrisy by showing their greater concern for their own possessions than for a man in need. And he gives them the analogy of the sheep. He really tests them again, the Pharisees. The Pharisees kind of hit him with this, but he instantly has an answer, and he has a defense for what he's doing. And Jesus argues with them that it can't be wrong to do good on the Sabbath. And right after that, Jesus, again, compassionately healed this man. When Jesus commanded the man, "Stretch out your hand," he commanded the man to do something impossible in his current condition. But Jesus gave both the command and the ability to fulfill it. We know this man had a withered hand. He did not have a full hand, but Jesus still commands him to stretch it out, which was something that wasn't possible. But I can really, I kind of picture it in my head as he was bringing his hand up. By the time it got out, his hand was fully healed. It was as whole as the other one. The man's hand was withered, but God's mercy had still preserved him to use his feet. He uses them to bring him to this public place of worship, where he meets Jesus, and then Jesus is able to heal him. So a quote from another commentator says, "He stretched out his restored hand, assuming that not till restored could the hand be stretched out. The healing of the outstretched may be conceived as contemptuous." The man was not able to actually do what Jesus commanded him to do in his current circumstances. But the man did have faith that when Jesus told him, "Stretch out your hand," that he was going to be able to. And he did so. Christ sometimes used the ceremony of laying on his hands. Here he doesn't, to let us know that it was not a sign of his power. A lot of times when we see healings that Jesus did throughout the Bible, we see him. Jesus actually lays his hand on the injured person, and he is then healed. Jesus is kind of just showing that he is not. That's not the only way he can do it. He does not have to be touching the person for them to be healed. We see in this case. So we read right after this. It says, "Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him that they might destroy him." So in response to this display of compassion, power, and wisdom, the Pharisees, in the hardness of their hearts, did not respond in irrelevant worship or submission to Jesus. But in the hardness of their hearts, they wanted him destroyed. Luke 6:11 says that the critics of Jesus were filled with rage when Jesus healed the man, which was more a violation of the Sabbath when Jesus healed a man, or when these hate-filled, which was more a violation of the Sabbath, when Jesus healed a man, or when these hate-filled men plotted the murder of a godly man who never sinned against anyone? That's a very obvious answer. The Pharisees were so caught up in their fleshly desires and their hatred for Jesus, that they didn't realize that they were, Jesus had not sinned in this instance, but they were actually the ones who were in the wrong. So that brings us to the end of verse 14. So I'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll be done. Dear God, we thank you again for today, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for sending your son to this earth, Lord, that he may be an example to us in how we are to live our lives, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just stamp these words and these truths upon our heart, Lord, that we may not forget, Lord. Lord, I pray for safety as we leave this place, Lord. I pray that we would just be able to keep our eyes on you, Lord, throughout the day, throughout the week, Lord. These things we ask in your son Jesus' name. Amen.